All lines are now bridged.
Great. So good morning and welcome to this meeting of the USCDI Task Force. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Michelle Murray at ONC. I'm filling in for Mike Berry as the acting designated federal officer today. So I'll open the meeting with roll call. When I call your name, please indicate that you are present. I'll start with our co-chairs, Stephen Lane.
Good morning.
Leslie Kelly Hall.
Leslie told us she would not be able to join us.
Correct, yeah. Just double checking. Ricky Bloomfield.
Good morning, I'm here.
Hans Butendijk. Grace Cordovano.
Here, good morning.
Jim Gerges. Ken Kawamoto.
Good morning, I'll be on the first part.
Great. John Kilbourn.
Good morning, I'm here.
Leslie Leonard. Glenn McDonald. Aaron Meary. Brett Oliver. I think we got a note from him that he has a conflict. Mark Savage.
Good morning.
Michelle Schreiber. Abby Sears. Sasha Termott. Andrew Truscott. Cheryl Turney. Daniel Riemann. And Denise Swett.
Good morning.
Is that Daniel?
Yes, it is. Thanks.
Okay, great. Thanks. Okay, so that's it on roll call, and I can turn the meeting over to Stephen.
Thank you very much, and thank you again to all of you who are joining us this morning here on the West Coast. It's actually smoke-free at the moment and a lovely summer day, so it's great to be here with all of you. Really appreciate all of you continuing to show up for this task force. Our work is nearly done. In fact, today we will hopefully focus in deeply on our task three recommendations, make some progress on those. We do have another meeting scheduled in 2 weeks, which we will use as needed to finalize our recommendations before forwarding them to the HITECH. So very excited to be coming to the end of this work. And really appreciate all of you who have really put a lot of time into contributing to the recommendations. So we don't have Leslie or Al today, so you're stuck with me. We continue to process past meeting notes and post them to the public website where they should be available to you. We're going to, as I say, focus on our task three recommendations and drafting our report to the HITECH. And go on from there. So let's go to the next slide. Very good. So just as a reminder, where we've been and where we're at, we are focused now on drafting recommendations to the HITECH and subsequently the ONC regarding priorities for USCDI version 3 submission cycle. And of course, that submission cycle is really in process now. It's open for another, I guess, about 6 weeks. So that cycle is going on its merry way. I know a number of you have taken the opportunity to make submissions and submit comments, and I hope that people take the time to do that continually during the remainder of this time. But I think really what we should be thinking about is recommending priorities for USCDI's efforts to craft the draft version 3. So I guess that's part of the submission cycle, but I think that is really our scope at this point to put together recommendations around draft version 3. But it ends up that we've spent a lot of time talking about a lot of other things that go well beyond recommendations for draft version 3. And as we go through the document that Al crafted and that I have edited, what we will see is many of the recommendations are specific to version 3 and its drafting, and many of them are much broader, much more related to the ongoing USCDI expansion process, really what was our principal focus in our phase 2 work, but I think that there's some residual recommendations that we've come up with that I think we want to transmit to the HITACH and to the national coordinator. So, but I do think that we need to separate in our minds those recommendations that are specific to phase three and draft version three, and those that are more general. So we'll be coming to that. Next slide, I think, is okay. That we'll come back to that later. So let's cut over to the document. So Al took the work that we had done in the spreadsheet and in the Google Doc of recommendations, and he brought those recommendations over into this Google Doc. Someone who's not a co-chair, tell me, have you guys received this and had a chance to look at it prior to now, or is this your first view of it?
No, haven't seen it.
Okay.
This is Mark. I have seen it.
Okay.
But some variability. What I noticed is that it is not as up to date as the Google Doc version of the recommendations. So I know those are two different documents, but I saw some things that had been entered into the Google Doc that did not show up here, and maybe there's a reason for that.
Well, primarily because we hadn't had a chance to discuss them. So here's my plan, is I'd like to go through this. The one that we're going to be displaying is Excel or ONC teams, is there any reason why we couldn't just send the link? I know we shouldn't do it in the Adobe meeting, but could you quickly send the link to this document out to the task force so that they can look at it in a full screen mode if they'd like? Because I think that's just more convenient than trying to look at it inside the Adobe. Would that be something someone can work on? If so, that's great. We don't need to talk more about it. Okay, so but let's scroll down in the document. This you've seen documents like this before. This is our working draft. If you go down to the top of the next page, it starts with some basic background. It reviews the charges to the task force and provides some background information on all of you and who is in the task force. The recommendations are, I believe, down at the top of page 3 or 4. There's some funny page breaks in here. So whoever's sharing the screen, could you scroll down to the recommendations? Al did a nice job with this. I went through and made a few little edits, and we'll get you access so you can see them in detail. Okay, so let's just start with the first recommendation. And what we've done here is we've brought over those recommendations from the other Google doc, the text doc that we have been working on, those that we have made bold with our agreement, and brought them over here and started to word them. So the first one was a comment that actually came to us from the folks at, it was from the U.S., the Interoperability Standards Advisory Task Force. Dave McCallie made a suggestion that he felt that the requirement for advancement to level 2 should require exchange between 2 vendors instead of 4 vendors, and we discussed that and agreed to it. Does anyone have any concerns about having this in here as our first recommendation? Okay, no concerns. We will move on. I will just accept some of the changes that I had put in there as we go. And then the next one was really Dan. So Dan, perk up your ears here. This was the recommendation to adopt a clear and extensible structure for USCDI entities, that is to say data classes and elements, to improve the clarity of entity definitions and allow the industry to interpret consistently. That Al sort of grabbed that text or something like that from our document And he said, the recommendation needs significant clarification to make it actionable. So I worked on this yesterday, and this is how I endeavored to clarify it. What I did was I just worked on, you know, cleaning up some of the language here. So what I put as sub-bullets, and perhaps, Dan, you can see these here or you can view them. I don't know if we could can you hide the table of contents on the left so that the document itself expands a little bit more? Yeah, and then maybe zoom in just a tad bit and so we can see it better. So, Dan, I don't know if you can read this, but I paraphrased and edited slightly some of the language from your document, trying to really capture that so that it made sense. So I said, add precision to data class and element definitions and specifications to enable users to understand, implement, extend, and refine them with future submissions for new USCDI content. Align the definitions in USCDI entities with the data, quote, shapes of prevailing exchange specifications and common data modes. Provide a mechanism for defining entities with various levels of specificity. And then I just said, see details in your posted document. You first, Dan, and anyone else is welcome to add, modify, et cetera. But I think that I was trying to address Al's concerns here.
Well, Stephen, I like this recommendation.
Well, I bet you do.
No, more specifically, I think you did a good job of taking, I think, the high-level points and kind of extracting them into this this bullet form. And I feel like that really captures the main gist of it. And so, you know, as an initial blush, I don't have any specific concerns or suggestions. I think it does help bring it to a more directed or actionable level, which I think Al's comment is well taken. Sort of on its own, it was tougher maybe to interpret that top level thing, but this expansion and clarification I think helps. So thank you.
Great. And Clem, your hand is up.
Yeah, it's okay on another thing, but at this point, I thought there was something. I mean, the problem is this is completely abstract, and people don't get what in general, the general population doesn't get stuff when it's completely abstract, or they see it 25 different ways. I thought in the original thing, Dan, you had something saying that a class is kind of like a table, and elements are like fields and tables. In the standards, and
right. He did, and I couldn't quite figure out how to capture that, Clem. But
I thought that made it kind of much clearer. And I don't have memorized those words, but it's given more direction because right now it's just wishy wishy. I mean, not this, but in general, people don't know what we're talking about most of the time. So, Dan, I don't know if you'd be willing to sort of reassert that or you think this is better.
I think so the longer version is obviously spelled out in the linked document. I do think that second bullet, right, that the cursor is kind of under is the top-level statement that gets at what you were saying, which is, you know, thinking about data classes analogous to tables in a CDM or resources in FireView, and data elements being the field, you know, analogous to the fields in those tables or the elements in the resource, I think would be, for folks who are familiar with either of those two approaches, that helps anchor the thinking about what the heck is a data class versus a data element.
It would take a ton of room, and I think it does anchor it, and it starts to stabilize the otherwise woolly thinking that happens.
So Dan, would you be willing to try to take a stab at another bullet or sub bullet there to just provide a little more clarity? I share Clem's concern, but I just, it's in the wee hours, I wasn't able to kind of get it right. So I'll just leave that for you, okay?
Got it. Thank you.
But Steve, what I actually put my hand up for, I didn't know, you charged me or allowed me to propose a set of the actual specific clinical data things weren't labs. It should be included.
Yes.
And I have it mostly done, but I didn't know when it was needed. So
it's coming right up. In fact, it's the next, no, it's two more down. So just hold tight. We're almost there, Clem.
Well, I haven't sent it yet, so that's my
problem. No, I know, but I'm telling you, I know where it's going to go. You know, we've got a spot for it. So.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
This is Hans. If I can ask a quick question on this topic.
Please.
Completely agree that more clarity is needed and I like the recommendation in that regard. The third sub-bullet provides a mechanism for defining entities with various levels of specificity. That would help to be clarified a little bit more as well what the intent is. And I'm not sure whether the details below it are providing sufficient and whether then, as part of the update to the second sub-bullet, that will be clear as well. But that's not clear. What is the intent of what we're trying to achieve?
Okay, yeah, Hans, I could take a stab at that if you'd like, Stephen.
Perfect. Got it. Okay, again, I'm putting some of this. Okay, so I agree again, Hans. Thank you for that. I was struggling with this a little bit, but yeah, I knew you guys would get it right. Okay, no hands up.
As a 2-second example, Hans. One would be like under problems, we have now problems, but then we also have social determinants of health problems. So there's like a sub-level of specificity that we already have, and this would help kind of make it clear that actually those are kind of the same thing. They're just more, they're subtype.
Okay, now that helps if that can be clarified, but that makes sense. Thank you.
All right. Going on to what will now be recommendation 3, and again, I reworded this a little bit from what we had before, but I've got the changes in here for you to see them, and thanks for scrolling down a little bit further. Great. Okay, so for data classes elements included in a published USCDI version, ONC should, where possible, specify applicable vendor-neutral data sets and exemplar technical specifications and implementation guides, such as specific fire profiles or CCDA templates, that ONC deems to meet the USCDI requirement. This information should be separated from the details submitted by the requestor. So this is actually a little bit of a mashup. Some of this actually came from Dan's recommendation, and I moved it down because we had this as a separate recommendation. I think we could potentially smash 2 and 3 together, but I kind of think this was a separate discussion that we had. So I want to see if people feel that this is clear and that it is, acceptable as it stands.
Could you explain a little bit about what you mean by data sets here?
Yeah, I was a little unclear on that one also. Thank you, Ricky. I think that in most cases, I was tempted to just take it out, but I didn't want to do it without your all's permission.
I don't know if it's referring to terminologies or value sets, but data sets isn't a word that I've seen here, so I'm not clear.
Yeah, value sets might be better. Does that warrant inclusion?
I think that really makes sense, but I just wanted to. Go ahead.
I really like Dan's word exemplar. I just think that's a beautiful word, so I kept that. And I also am not sure whether we need vendor neutral or whether that kind of goes without saying.
I think it's a good idea to keep in.
Okay.
I would keep it in, yeah.
So one thought,
I was going to say the vendor neutral was my shorthand rather than always saying, fire CDA, V2, blah, 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 NCPDP. It was shorthand. but also means something.
It might be better to say ONC-supported transmission standards or something.
Yeah, that could be fine too.
So this is Matt. I just have a quick question. So like currently, you know, our different criterion that we have would specify the standard you need, but USCDI is supposed to be a standard agnostic standard. So can you clarify where you're going with this recommendation?
Sure. I think what this came up in a number of different discussions that you probably weren't privy to, but the idea being that there is a certain degree of clarity, but people feel that for these to be truly actionable and implementable, that there needs to be more specification of what standards could be used. I don't believe that the idea here is that these would be absolute requirements, but for a lot of these data elements, just being able to point to, and we discussed it a lot, you know, we will include this if and only if there's an HL7 implementation guide, but then it's not actually put in the website that the guide refers to this data element or this data class. So there was a pretty strong feeling on the part of the group that they wanted this greater clarification provided.
A question that I have around that, one suggestion is maybe vendor neutral to change to representative. That might be, but whether it's vendor neutral or representatives is fine. But the question more about the exemplar, and on the one hand, I completely agree that USCDI, without having an understanding of what standards to be used, is going to be challenging to make sure that everybody can be aligned and achieve the level of interoperability we want. At the same point in time right now, based on the mechanism that's in place, there's the USCDI, that's the overall data elements and classes and some vocabulary standards. And separately, and that's only done in certification right now, effectively, is where it states these are the standards to be used to express that data. If we're going to put in here exemplars, on the one hand, I really like that idea to say that, hey, these are the kinds of things to look at. On the other hand, is that going to set an expectation that those are the standards that you must use, and how does that then relate to some of the certification and the timeline? So I'm trying to figure out on what's the right way to reference that, because this sounds more like an ISA-like reference to, hey, in the ISA, which is a library, not yet a required, you shall support it, but these are the kinds of things that represent that kind of data from an ISA perspective, and maybe by tying it a little bit more into that can help clarify the role of it, given what ISA is doing.
Yeah, and I was thinking about that, Hans, saying that this greater detail could potentially be posted in the ISA as opposed to on the USCDI site with links between them. We wanted to be separated because we were looking at, you know, the site today basically just lists all the stuff submitted by the stakeholder. Sometimes slightly edited by ONC, but what we all felt was missing was that greater level of technical depth.
Right.
But if it was simply a link in USCDI over to the relevant part of the ISA, I think that would be fine.
Or the other way around, which sounds interesting as well, is to say in the ISA, this is a standard. It supports USCDI 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever. So that there is that relationship, but it avoids the potential confusion of is it now deemed to be required to be supported already? And
well, could I just weigh in on ISA? So I recently looked for the material that was there 2 years ago, which was worked on with some of the folks that are on the committee. It's totally gone with no hint of where it went. And it's completely different. I think ISA is way too unstable to be used depending on.
The ISA, I would agree, is a library of potential standards to be considered for use until you get to a program like certification where you get the actual version and the actual requirements.
But Hans, with a library, you don't throw the books away after 2 years. That's what's happened. It's all gone. what we've worked on. It's brand new, start from scratch, no remnant of what was on there before. So I think it's not as stable enough to count on for anything.
I don't know, can someone from the ONC, Matt, perhaps comment on that?
I mean, you know, kind of Ahan said it in the way that, you know, the intention is that, you know, what is there on the interoperability standards advisories, like what's coming down the pike, what we have now, and what is future, and we kind of have like a few maturity level, you know, identifiers there too. But, you know, right now, just to say, the ISA is under comment period right now. So, Clem, if you feel that way, you can send us comments either to me directly.
It's unrecognizable compared to the last one. There was no notice of it. Someone just threw it away and started with something different. I think that's really bad for stability for standards of any kind, even if they're futures.
Yeah, so if you could send me the specific ones you're referring to, we can look into that.
Okay, I'll send you the... I think I have a PDF of what it used to look like.
I mean, yeah. The intention is for, you know, the work that is, you know, going on right now, the standards that are available right now that are mature, and then, you know, future-looking ones, the people that are, you know, what people are working on would be in there.
That's what it had. It was very complete. It had maturity levels. It was a lot of work done by the earlier high-tech committee, and it's just gone.
Okay, I think we got it. We don't need to belabor the point. No. Yeah, Clem, if you can provide any examples to Matt or through the public comment process on the ISA, that would be great. Coming back to the recommendation three that we're working on here, Hans suggested perhaps representative value sets. Now, representative clearly means something different. I mean, I use the word applicable. I don't think representative and vendor neutral mean the same thing at all.
I think applicable is the best one. Just leave out the next phrase.
Yeah, I'm tempted to take out vendor neutral if no one objects.
No objection.
Okay. Dan, your hand's up.
I can lower it. It was to give Matt another example of how this might be helpful, but I think we're okay now.
Okay, great. All right, and then... and then I added this text in yellow here. This information should be separated from the details submitted by the requester, perhaps residing in the ISO links between the two sites. Does that seem acceptable to folks?
Well, as I've said before, if it isn't more stable, I don't think you should put anything in it. Dan was on the previous committee, and there are a number of other folks who are on it.
I'm still trying to understand the non-stability, but we have to look at the ISA to understand what's missing.
Well, you have to look at what it was.
I mean, everything is up on there. Like, I think Hans put the email in the chat. Like, you can see the previous versions. So, like, I don't want to belabor the point, but definitely, Clem, send me, okay. Send it to me. Send me the issues you have.
Okay.
And again, we just have this as a perhaps. Let me just put in a comment here to perhaps discuss this.
Yeah, and I think that the format is going to be important to avoid that references from the USCDI to exemplars are going to be interpreted as requirements at that point in time already, which is not quite how currently it works. It works the other way around. What is in certification and what do you need to have supported? So that's why I want to make sure is that those two models, that there's no confusion between them.
Okay. Anything else on recommendation three? I see no hands. We're just going to plow ahead, so bear with me. So recommendation four, this, Clem, is the one that really came out of your discussions. For clinical tests, assessments, and other applicable data classes, recommend that ONC provide a list of examples, and that might not be the best word, that would be included within the data class if such data are collected and exchanged. This list could evolve over time in response to stakeholder input. Now, there was some additional language here that said, and share a common structure with associated technical standards, value sets, implementation guides, or data models. That seemed a little redundant to what we had discussed above. So I thought the point here was really to focus on the idea that for clinical tests, which is the one we've discussed the most, there are a whole bunch of clinical tests that have been submitted by stakeholders that are leveled down at the comment or level one level, but that really fit as a clinical test. They are examples of clinical tests. It could be exchanged under the current clinical test data class. Similarly, under assessments, there have been a number of very specific assessments, functional assessments, you know, et cetera, that people want to have in USCDI that, based on the way Al and the ONC are approaching these, will probably never be added to USCDI as named assessments or as named tests. You know, the tonometry is the classic one that Clem keeps reminding us of. There's probably never going to be a tonometry data element in USCDI, but tonometry is a clinical test that can be exchanged now, you know, given, you know, use of some standards. So the idea here was to, and Clem had offered in private discussion with me, to put together a list of the most, you know, commonly exchanged clinical tests and the standards that support them. And our thought was, again, perhaps in the ISA, there could be a list that says, under clinical tests, here's a list of 10, of 20, of 100, you know, year by year, adding clinical tests. And under assessments, the same idea. Here's 3 assessments this year. Here's 7 assessments next year that would be exchanged under assessments, you know, if you follow these. And I think a lot of the stuff that Gravity is doing, you know, really are, you know, SDOH assessments. And we want those to be out there, but they're never going to be individual data elements in USCDI. So this was how we've been thinking about how to structure that. We've talked to Al about this at some length, and he didn't say over my dead body, but he really needed to be convinced.
So, Steve, there's a list of probably 20 or 25 I've got. You know, it seems like EKGs, nerve conductions, EEGs, tonometry, visual acuity, and audiometry. It goes on. These are common real-life things, and maybe others would have additional ones. And for those that have sort of structure, I've got line codes that fit the structure as well for many of them. Some of them are just reports. So I'll get that to you hopefully in the next week if that's enough time, that's soon enough.
Yeah, I think that's great. But I want to make sure, so you and I have discussed this at some length, but I want to make sure that other people had a chance to weigh in. Similarly, I think, Mark, it may be appropriate to come up with a short list of assessments that we thought belonged here as well as examples of how this could be operationalized.
Yeah, well, prepare is already, I mean, that's one of the main ones being used in SDOH, and that we could do the same thing with that. So, Mark, if you've got a list of them, I'd try to find some, you know, specific content structures that we could put up.
Yeah, Stephen and Clem, that's a great idea. Let me just flag something that we, within speaking now as Gravity, policy lead, we have worked very carefully to make the Gravity approach agnostic to any particular assessment tool. So while we do reference different tools and we're clear to make them usable with the various ones, not all of the assessments are themselves agnostic. So I just wanted to mention that. If you want me to come up with some examples that may or that may be proprietary, just to list for as examples, I'm happy to do that. But I just wanted to flag that issue. It's one that we have been thinking about and trying to be careful with our language to make this for the public good.
You just touched two things. You know, pushing. I personally wished we didn't deal with specs. You had to pay for it. Kind of breaks standard flow. So I don't know what you meant by proprietary. Second thing is, it granted we can't say everybody's got to use this one, but it wouldn't be all bad if there's not if there are more commonly a couple used, so you could use the data across systems.
Happy to list. Just wanted to add a little color to the question.
Yeah. No, okay. Yeah.
Would it be helpful for us to continue to include this language with associated technical standards, value sets, implementation guides, or data models? I'm happy to put that back in.
I don't think it's helpful.
You don't think it's necessary? Okay.
No.
And also,
I like it.
Oh, okay. All right.
You work hard on a big one night, right?
I would probably put it here. All right. And then there was the comment, and share a common structure. Again, I don't know that that's necessary. If we
it is important, though, if you want to be able to plug it into the system you get when you get it.
Okay.
I guess an extensible, a common and extensible structure might be better.
I just want to avoid throwing so much in here that when somebody asks me a question at HITECH next month that I have no idea how to answer it. As long as you're going to be there, Clem, I can pass it to you. I also wanted to point out, I think, this important language, if such data are collected and exchanged. So this was really meant to be a way of saying that this data, we're not saying in USCDI that this data must be collected or exchanged. But if it is collected or exchanged, this is where it goes. So that was why that is in there.
Yeah, that's important.
All right. So are we, go ahead, Juan.
Yeah, just a clarification is that where it says that would be included within, as we don't know exactly where what is being defined inside USCDI or in support of USCDI, perhaps that should be that would support the data class. So that it's not little, does it have to be inside USCDI or outside, but it needs to be together and we need to get to that. So it might be just a small rephrasing there.
Well, so that's not, when you say support the data class, I'm not sure what that means or doesn't mean much to me because I'm really thinking of, and Al has used the word container, that the data class is the container that you would use to ship this data. So I don't see that as supporting the data class so much as I'm sort of trying to get at that notion of this data belongs in this container.
Maybe a clarification question, since I was not able due to vacation to participate in the last one. Is there then clarification that the USCDI, the standards to support USCDI are not limited to vocabulary standards only, but that we get some tactical, structural standards that the direction is to include those as well in USCDI?
I think that's what we were trying to get at above, I think, in Dan's now recommendation two.
Right. And if we're trying to stay neutral on that, then I think we just have to be careful using the terms included. So I was trying to find another word that would not imply that it's part of USCDI, but it's in support of.
It's got to be part inside it in some ways. So you got a class called lab. Okay, but if there's machinery to say how you can send any kind of lab test, at least if it has a LOINC code. And so something like that's needed because when you get into this other area, they're not as uniform.
I'm not debating that that's not necessary to make it work. The construct that was used so far and that had been clarified to date is that to actually make that that componentry work, that's where then use Fire, use Core, CCDA, perhaps other ones over time. V2 plays roles in it, in the different workflows, et cetera, and CPDP. We can go through the list. But that those are not referenced directly from inside USCDI, they are referenced and correlated outside of it. That's where my concern is. I'm completely with you. Without those two components, it doesn't work. But what's the construct that we're using? What's inside UCDI and what's in support or outside, but to make it work?
Yeah. Well, I thought UCDI was mostly defining the vocabulary value sets that would go into the fields that were defined in those three different specifications, transport specifications.
Right. So I'm completely conceptually in agreement that these aspects need to be there. Without it, interoperability won't work, clearly. Just a matter of where do we document it.
So here again, I'm adding this bullet that says this list could reside in the ISA. As you say, separating it from the USCDI, but being in support thereof.
Well, yes, it could. But here I think we are moving in the direction of is that this is what you need. When you support USCDI electronically for interoperability, these are the specific standards to use, as opposed to these are the ones that you could use, which is a different flavor. But yes, ISA could be maybe at some point in time a place for that as well, to start that. At least from an EHR perspective, looking at certification as the mechanism, that's the lens through which we are looking at, say, is that to support USCDI, we're not looking at the ISA, we are looking at certification definition. And that's where if we pull other ones in there, we need to make sure they're not contradictory, they're supportive, they all fit together. But from the EHR perspective, that's the lens that we're looking at. What standards do we need to use and where do we need to contribute to make sure we properly support USCDI?
Does that comment translate into a recommendation for the language here?
Are you okay if I put something in a comment?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, please. I my hope today is to sort of fly through this over the next 35 minutes, and then you guys are going to have 2 weeks to have your way with it and make additional comments. So please do so. So I want to keep going because there is a lot here. And so recommendation 5 was prioritize adoption of data elements and classes that benefit multiple use cases and stakeholders. This is a point that has been made repeatedly, especially in our SDOH discussions. It's sort of an overarching comment, and I think does stand on its own. Any suggestions on that one? Okay. The next one is kind of a laundry list that we collected of what we felt were high priority imperatives and use cases. So it reads, prioritize and encourage the advancement of data elements and classes that support the following national imperatives and use cases. And we've got a long list here, some of which are sort of lumped together and some of which are separated. They have a lot of, you know, it's a pretty diverse list, but wanted to, you know, this was something we've discussed, and does anybody have any objection to including it?
Well, it's very ill-defined what it really means. So, but other than that, and they're apples, oranges, houses, and cars.
Yep. Does anybody feel that this is not appropriate or that it should be winnowed down or somehow separated into categories?
Well, with the last statement that you made, Stephen, I'm not sure how much we want to re-emphasize some of the stratification, segmentation, extension type of discussions that we had, is that having this list in itself is very good to understand the kind of data that we ultimately are talking about, but also recognize that depending on context, some of that data may not need by certain HIT be supported. So I think there is still that element of how do we segment, stratify, whatever the right term is. Last week at HIMSS, there was a reference made to core, USCDI core is really something that everybody must support. all HIT, it sounded like, need to get some more clarification, but that there could be extensions an extension could focus on what specific data for public health or what specific for XYZ, pick any on these lists. So I think it does bring up, again, and this highlights the need that not necessarily everything needs to be supported by everybody, but it's all data that is important for interoperability to tie all the stakeholders together. So I'm not sure how much we want to go back to that conversation and reiterate that's the data set, but keep in mind, we need to organize it. Otherwise, it's going to be very challenging to assume that everybody will support everything.
Makes sense. Now, there was one bullet in here, this robust API app ecosystem constrained by available data. I had no idea what that really meant and what it meant with regard to USCDI priorities. So I suggested taking it out, but I didn't want to do that. Somebody that meant something to somebody?
That meant something to me. I'm happy to at least explain. In work that I have done with ONC and others, but not as a part of the task force, we've realized that the ability of app developers to develop apps depends on what, using Fire, depends on what data they can get access to. And if it's not, and so USCDI is a sort of an important set of that, and it does what's there, or what, and more importantly, what's not there, affects the ability of an app ecosystem to develop both in and of itself and for interoperability. That seemed to be an important national use case. That's what's behind that phrase. Whether the folks think it should stay or go.
Well, I guess I just, and I totally get that, Mark, and appreciate that context. I don't get how it sort of translates into which data elements or classes are going to be prioritized or encouraged.
I'd say it ends up being, in my mind, a consideration when you're thinking about what to prioritize. Does a particular data element make a tremendous difference for the ability of app developers to develop something because it's central?
Would it help that bullet becomes part of recommendation 5 that benefit multiple use cases stakeholders, in particular robust API app ecosystem? Because it cuts across any of the other data elements in any of the other lists that I think you're looking for, particularly those ones that help in that space as well, would have a higher notch.
Well, the other thing to conceive is that almost all of this discussion so far has been what in system should support to be able to carry it. There's no requirements in general that users must fill in all that data, and that's kind of what you're after, Mark, I think, is that it would be there. You know, there's going to be an awful lot of stuff that isn't there and may not be there without a lot of provider input entry time. So just to think about it, I mean, the specs so far say this is what you must be able to transmit if you have it. It doesn't say what you must have, I don't think. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Some of the specifications do indicate that you cannot communicate unless you have it, but there's plenty of data that if you don't have it, you can't communicate it. So yes, there is a point of some data might not be there because it's not being collected. It's possible to collect. It's capable of being collected, but it's not being collected for one reason or another.
Yeah, so I mean, I just want to mark sensitive to the fact that these specs, these standards probably won't create the data that isn't being collected. And I think that's partly what you'd like to see, more data collected, Mark. Is that right?
I think it's a two-step process. One is you create the structure for the data elements, and then yes, the individuals use it as they under the existing approach, which is not a mandate, as I understand in general, but it's more if you use it, then you collect it.
Okay, all right, that's good. I just wasn't sure how you were thinking.
So, Mark, are you comfortable moving it up under 5?
But if it's not there, especially if it's there in the first place. I think both are meant to be helpful signals, and I think it's a helpful signal at whichever place that the task force thinks is best.
Okay. All right. All right, moving on. So that was the section entitled General Process Improvement for USCDI Expansion. The next section is data needs related to public health use cases. This one included a whole lot of recommendations that sort of felt like they belonged more under the recommendations of the Public Health Data Systems Task Force as opposed to USCDI, but we clearly spent a bunch of time talking about this. A lot of these recommendations, I think, are much more general about ONC priorities and less so about USCDI. So as we go through these, I've flagged a number of them as really not USCDI version 3 specific and perhaps appropriate to pull out into a separate section that we would offer to the ONC separate from our USCDI recommendations. So just let's think about that as we go through them. The first one, number 7, was really the same as number 8, so I just deleted that because it was duplicative.
Stephen?
Yes.
Might I flag a question for wherever it's appropriate? There was an item in the process recommendations that was not bolded on the document and therefore is not incorporated here. When is a good time to raise a question about something that did not make the crossover?
Yeah, so my thought, Mark, was that we would try to get through this document now.
Very good. Sorry to interrupt.
Then go back. No, not at all. But I'm just thinking of the structure for our work. I thought, yeah, there is clearly some stuff over there that didn't come across. We'll get to it. Okay. So looking at what's now listed as recommendation 8, and don't worry about the numbering because we'll get that fixed up. Promote and support the development of companion implementation guides to reinforce public health use cases. Again, Al's comment was this may be out of scope for USCDI since it's exchange standards agnostic, more in the realm of the exchange standards development, US Realm Steering Committee. And I subsequently added to that, a number of these suggestions are not directly related to the task force charge to recommend priorities for USCDI version 3 submission cycle. As they support the continued evolution and success of the USCDI advancement process, consider putting them in a section of additional recommendations separate from task 3, really more kind of related to our task 2. So if I'm curious what people think about that observation and suggestion, and then if so, we can just flag these as we go through to pull out into a separate section, or we could drop them all together and say it really wasn't our task. What do people think?
This is Mark. I would not drop altogether. I think wherever it's placed, this is a useful part of an important conversation.
Great. Okay. Well, let's just flag them as we go. So again, I think this one that is now number 8 really does need to be separated out. So we will do that. In a separate section, we'll just go on there. So number 9, provide guidance for and encourage the use of read and write APIs in public health interoperability use cases. Again, really a separate issue, not specific to USCDI, but I think a great suggestion. Does anyone have any objection to separating that one out? Okay, we'll move on. Number 10 does come back to USCDI. Assign and support ONC staff champions to focus on the USCDI related needs of public health, registries, and pandemic related interoperability and standards. This one is sort of USCDI related, and there's a companion recommendation further down about stakeholder engagement. Anybody have any concerns about this? All right, good. Good. The next one, encourage and support registry organizations and stakeholders to participate. There are a number of these that are just about encouraging people to weigh in. They could be bundled together, but this one is specific to the public health domain. The next one is very similar, encourage and support public health SMEs to participate in the process, particularly providing comments on the leveling of submitted data classes and elements. Again, I think these are pretty benign. I guess the question is just, do they really belong here in our list of recommendations? Does anyone object to them being here? I know Brian Karras is not here to defend himself, but I think he really made a number of these suggestions. All right. I'm just going to keep going. Number 13, again, I think is one of those that perhaps could be separated out, but it is develop a certification program for public health IT systems as a companion to existing health IT certification. Again, not USCDI specific by any means.
I think it should be separate because I'm not sure that it's USCDI specific. I believe, but the general notion, if we want to pass it on, is that interoperability is done a lot across many stakeholders, some of them that are certified to some pieces and others are not, and to really make it predictable, seamless, easy to connect, some form of validation, known standards, clear test cases that you can validate against. Whether it's as extensive and in done the same way, different story, but how can we validate that there is adherence to them so that you can easily click things in or more easily click things in? So I think it's a much larger issue than just public health. It's many other systems that have the same need because they're part of interoperability.
Yeah, I mean, and I've been party to discussions about a separate certification system for long-term and post-acute care, for example. I agree, Hans, that there are a number of examples where either a full-blown certification system or some other process that would allow interoperability beyond the clinical domain is helpful. Would you suggest any rewording of this?
Yeah, I'm wondering whether it should be started out as more general that there is focus on validation certification of all stakeholders sharing USCDI. And examples could be public health, could be with payers, could be with registries, could be, you can go through the entire list. But I think that it seems helpful to have a more general statement that validation is helpful, so it's more predictable what we are connecting with or not.
Well, I think that's a little different than what this is asking for, which is really truly a certification program for public health data systems. But again, I mean, that came out of the public health task force, so perhaps it doesn't need to be reiterated here. And your comment making this a little bit broader would be more valuable.
I would agree is that if public health data systems already makes it, that makes sense to focus then specifically on that. And from a USCDI perspective, it's more the general stakeholders that interact using USCDI. How can we help ensure that all sides of the equation support appropriately the standards referenced? That's what it's ultimately there about.
Would you like to take a stab at crafting that?
Yep.
Okay. Let me put a comment here. Okay, let's see if that gets us close to where we want to be. Thank you, Hans. Okay, number 14 was develop a roadmap for registries to evolve from an exclusively provider to public health push model to support bidirectional query-based exchange, such as provider queries of public health and public health queries of data holders, such as provider slots and pharmacies. Again, this has nothing to do with USCDI and was, I believe, a part of the recommendations of the Public Health Data Systems Task Force. So I'm not sure if we want to include this in our recommendations or not.
It seems a little outside of our purview, would be my suggestion.
I would agree. I think we need to look at the data that's relevant for public health, but this seems to go beyond that a little bit more.
Okay, that's fine. So we'll plan to remove this. I'm just going to make notes as we go rather than actually delete it. I do want to get back to Bryant before we totally ditch all this. 15 was provide guidance on core patient data elements and content standards beyond USCDI needed to support public health interoperability, for example, SANER and the ASPR work. Here again, this is specifically stated as beyond USCDI. And again, I think this was included in public health task force recommendations. I'm not sure it needs to be repeated here. What do people think?
We effectively already have it in a list above that public health is one of the use cases where we want to make sure that data needed for that is included where appropriate. I think we got it covered already.
Anyone feel strongly they want to include this? Okay, it's fine for our thinking to evolve because we did want to include it before. Okay, we will plan to remove that.
Stephen, I would also note that you asked me to draft an intro piece for this section, which I did, which we will get to later because it, and it may be a way to flag these both 14 and 15 just as in an introductory statement, if that makes sense.
Do you say you have some ideas for that?
I put it in the other document that you said we would get to later, which is fine.
Okay, great. All right, and then we're actually near the end, so I'm very proud of us. So the next section is on improving stakeholder engagement, and there are three recommendations here. The first one, again, is one of those that I thought was not directly related to USCDI, but we'll see what you all think. It's flagged as recommendation 16, develop guidance such as priorities, clarifications, FAQs to support providers, vendors, HIEs, patients, caregivers, and other stakeholders in compliance with the 2223 requirements to exchange all EHI at both individual and population levels. That is a mouthful, and it really has nothing to do with USCDI. Great suggestion, you know, certainly an active topic of conversation with ONC. I'm not sure the value of our task force sending the suggestion to HITACH or asking them to send it to Mickey. So wondering what people think about this. I know we've discussed
Mark,
it at length, how important it is, but it's not about USCDI.
We did discuss it because it's also coming soon to a theater near us.
Indeed.
And so I think it, even the most general recommendation that for ONC or HITACH to help people think ahead about that evolution is a good thing since it isn't happening yet.
Well,
if it were happening already, we might not need to say anything, but it's not happening yet, and the task force conversation suggests it is important.
Yeah, I mean, Sasha's not here. She's been deeply involved in an effort that the EHRA has been a part of. I don't know, Hans, how aware you are of that. But, I mean, things are happening. ONC is aware of this. They're not specifically working on it, rather more letting the private sector do its thing. So I don't know, Hans, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think there are two parts to it. Is that from a exchange perspective, all EHI is at this point in time not bound by standards on how you exchange that. So I think you have two parts that we need to address somehow. UCDI is not all EHI. So there's that discussion we've had a number of times. Is the goal of UCDI to become EHI, and if not, how do we do that? There was some interesting discussions last week at HIMSS that might shed some light on that. And then there are the standards to use it. The closest that we have right now is that likely fire bulk data is going to play an important role in that. But it's not stated that that's the one that you have to use to do EHI export and access that. So I think there's still a lot of things that are not just UCDI. They are certification. There are other places where we need to get to. What is EHI? What's the boundary ultimately that we have to get to? There are a number of different initiatives there. I think from a USCDI perspective, recognizing what's the role of USCDI to help further the ability to have standards-based exchange of EHI, I think that's a good one. That's because USCDI so far is still only a subset. So recognizing that.
So let's look, Hans, with that thought, let me throw in recommendation 17, which I think is more specific to USCDI, and we can think about 16 and 17 together. 17 reads, encourage stakeholders to identify and prioritize the inclusion of data classes elements that may be difficult to access, exchange, and or use in the absence of inclusion in USCDI when required by expanded information block and scope in 1022. This was an issue originally raised by a member of this committee. I'm blocking on who, but in here, I think this is more USCDI specific than the first one.
Right, and I think that would be helpful perhaps be to blend maybe the two, is that in the absence of inclusion in USCDI, EHI that is not in USCDI is a good example of that. So this would be the more general statement there of which EHI is an example.
Hey Hans, what is EHI?
Electronic health information. I spelled it out here.
Not to be confused with the other EHI, but...
Okay.
Stephen, this is obvious from the language, but the recommendation 16 asks ONC for guidance. Recommendation 17 suggests that stakeholders identify the data elements. I think both are important. They're two different important parts of this of the larger issue.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So I think 16 perhaps we'll pull out into this section of general recommendations that we will argue was part of our task two, even though this really isn't at all related to USCDI. And then 17 we'll leave here. Does that seem fair?
Yes, fair, but could I just comment? If you don't have standards and the codes and the structure, you can't exchange it. Yeah,
oh, we all know that very well. Okay. That's the big challenge of the transition on information blocking and why the vendors are kind of scrambling to deal with that.
And why there's some would say is that, hey, expand USCDI to encompass EHI because then you can start to address those gaps. But if there's an alternative mechanism to that that creates a similar base, if you will, USCDI or US something else or US whatever. but that we need to arrive on standards and content of EHI because that's ultimately the goal that we were after.
Yeah, but the problem is it's everything and everything is tough to cover.
True, but it's not in year one, but the path needs to be clear.
We're not going to solve this one today. Let's keep going. Recommendation 18, assign and support ONC staff champions to focus on the USCDI-related data needs related to patient caregiver and other minority use cases. As I promised earlier, that is related, similar to the one we had above about public health. Everyone's good with that. And then there were a few, Mark, this goes to your comment. There were some things on the older documents that had not been brought over, so I brought over some of these, and then we may yet have time to talk about additional ones. One was that we recommended that all clinical note types be included in V3, and that we had particular interest in the inclusion of operative notes, which were of high value to patients. So I put that in here. Does anyone have any objection to that one?
Steve, I thought we already committed to that in the current version this year.
No, I don't believe so. I don't think there was any change in the clinical notes.
Well, maybe it wasn't. We just extended it, but surgery, I don't know. We had a lot of discussions, and I thought it was for this round.
I'm going to pop over to the ONC USCDI website, and I'm going to go to the tab that says version 2, and I'm going to look at clinical notes. And now there are only 5 types of clinical notes because we actually moved some out. So the only clinical notes that are included in USCDI version 2 are consultation, discharge summary, H&P, procedure, and progress. There's no operative note there. So our recommendation was to expand it. I mean, we agreed, and we've agreed multiple times, but it did not get included in version 2. So this is our recommendation for version 3.
I'm absolutely for it. I thought we already did it.
Question that I have, what all means. In Loint, there are about 700-plus codes that represent a variety of document types, clinical note types. In CCDA, there are 13. So when we say all, are we looking at all that are currently recognized in CCDA, or are we talking all as in 700-plus that are in LOINC?
What do you think?
I think we should start with looking at the CCDA ones and recognize that if there are other ones that are urgent, we should consider. But I think we want to be careful that we don't mean all as in LOINC.
I think we should use all. Why not? You do that with lab. I mean, we're making it so glacial by meticulously picking one at a time. You know, let's do it en masse. People don't have to use them. They just use the ones they need.
There needs to be agreement that if you have one for which there is not as clear specification like in CCDA on what data is considered to be relevant for a particular document type, what do you then work with? So at least there needs to be some general level guidance to clarify that if you include number 562, what do you expect to be in there?
I don't think you have any expectation, just like you don't now. It's just tech. You have a way to label it and find it. And I mean, consider how we're doing it now. It's nothing. You know, we niggle over these little issues. We get somewhere besides being nowhere.
I'd also add that we don't have to. It's not either all 700 LOINC or only CCDA. I wouldn't want to say anything that does that because we're trying to get structured data exchange,
right?
Not just CCDA. So more to Clem's point, I think.
Yeah, I mean, my vote would be to say, if you're doing clinical notes, use a LOINC code, right? Like that's you know, it's similar. So right, CCDA has unstructured. You can put anything the heck you want in it, the PDF or whatever, but at least it gives you the header stuff. And that's, I think, you know, the level at which USCDI is operating is binding to a vocabulary, and we're saying, hey, let's use a common vocabulary for identifying those notes. And that's a step forward, a good one.
Well, I think the specification using LOINC, that's already established as the way that USCDI has done this.
It's true, but in the same vein, right, as what Clem was saying with the clinical test, it's this, did we start by just saying, well, only these, or did we actually mean, you know, a pattern that could be extended depending on what you had?
And I think the pattern is that one then needs to be clarified so that you understand that if it's one of the quote-unquote 13 or 5, you have certain minimum expectations on what sections or what information is in there in structured or unstructured format.
Well, you're going to have a tough time disciplining that anyway. And right now, you know, can't we make steps forward instead of having to always go backwards to perfection? We're making excellence be the enemy of the good. And actually, the truth is, I think there's a code in that 700 that smells a lot like an operative note. I think it's called a procedure note or something.
No, there were a few in there. We listed some of them over in our other document. There were a number of three different operative notes, LOINC codes for operative notes.
Do we want to
take a stand on the CCDA shorter list of note types versus the full list of LOINC note types?
I
thought that Dan made about a pattern. I thought it was Dan who raised that about having understanding of a pattern that would be used, that would be helpful, just to have minimal guidance. So that I agreed that we don't need to have guidance for every individual one, but that you have an expectation what would be minimally in there. And that need not be very difficult, but that would help then organize and recognize different clinical notes. So I'm not arguing Clem to have full definition along the same lines as was done for the 13 for all the other ones, but can there be some recognitions? What would you expect if I'm going to send a LOINC code that's not one of the 13? What's the minimum? If it's text, if that's what we agree to, it's text. But that kind of
text, it's text or PDF or XML or JSON, whatever they want. But people will know where to find the thing that's like that. You know, since there's no expectation to have coded bottom level structure with numbers or codes, it doesn't matter a whole lot. You can still search it.
Would one of you like to take a stab at language here?
Well, I would just say I thought we already agreed that it's all the 700 notes or whatever they are. I didn't know the number. But just open it up. The stinginess is killing clinical care.
So would you say, recommend that all clinical note types specified in LOINC be included in B3?
Well, I would say allow that users to send clinical notes with codes of LOINC. And they can, I mean, there are also LOINC codes in CDA, but it's just that there's more structure in the CDA one. And maybe highlight, look to the CDA structure if you want to be more structured. I mean, it doesn't have to, the CDA structure wouldn't have to be represented in the CDA.
Okay, I'm going to leave the language here and invite comment on this, comment and suggestions. So, all right, and then we have about 0 minutes before we go to public comment, so shall we do that?
Yes. So, thank you, Stephen. And, operator, could we please open up the line for public comment?
Yes. If you'd like to make a public comment, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press *2 if you'd like to remove your comment from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys.
Well said.
Are there any comments so far?
No comments at this time.
Okay.
Great. All right. Well, let's. If we get a public comment, let us know, and we can back over there. The last one that we have in this document was to prioritize and encourage the advancement of the following data elements, which the task force considers high priority. And this included advanced directives, including BPHC and PulseMOLS, functional status, cognitive status, pregnancy status, and health insurance information. And we had listed those over in our earlier document. Any comments on that?
Sounds good.
Okay. Great. So, Mark, what were the other issues that you felt, and I know where you put them. There were a few of them, and I thought about them rather deeply, and I see you're in that document. I don't think we have time to cut over to that document, so do you want to speak to it?
Yes. So I think I recommended provide a timeline for, or somebody did, this is what it is, right? Provide a timeline for right access API specific to USCDI data classes and elements. And I added some examples underneath that. I don't recall whether it was me or somebody else that suggested the introductory piece about timeline, but I do think that's important. We've talked about right access APIs under public health. This is a broader piece, and it also, this is about timeline, which I think is important kind of guidance for the vendor community to know when and the user community when to start planning for this.
So, Mark, I think that you know, again, is one of these more general recommendations.
I can see that.
It's not specific to USCDI by any means. But that's not to say we can't include it. So it's a timeline. Let's see, to provide a timeline for the development and implementation of right APIs. Is that what you're calling it?
Sometimes put in quotes, access APIs specific to USCDI data classes and elements is the language from the Google Doc.
Okay. I didn't see. Where is it on the first doc? Is it at the bottom?
So under the table at the end, under general process improvement, it's about the fifth bullet down, and it's
Okay. There it is.
It's highlighted.
It's up there. Okay. Sorry. I was looking at the bottom. I'm sorry. Got it.
So
let me
like
bring that over. Go ahead, Clem.
Well, I'd like to support that. It would be tremendous. I mean, for smart apps and the like, to have that ability. But we have to recognize it's very, very difficult because the vendors, the master files may not align with what people are writing to. But I think it's a great idea.
Okay, I'm just capturing that so we can discuss it further next time, and people can provide comment on it between now and then. Was there another one, Mark, you wanted us to bring over?
Yes, so again, in the Google Doc, in conversations that you and Leslie and I had, I drafted an introductory piece for public health, sort of weaving together suggesting that we were aware of some of the infrastructure issues that the public health folks had briefed us on, and we were making these recommendations we weren't unaware of those. We still thought our public health recommendations were important.
This is the stuff at the top of the public health column, correct?
Correct, and it looks like you've got it highlighted with your.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So I'll bring that over. And again, that what I'm going to do between now and our next meeting is try to create this separate section of recommendations, clean them up, make them all legible. Again, I invite all of you to jump into the doc, which I think you've all been provided access to, if you can control yourself, try to comment rather than edit, and leave the editing to me. And then we will have a cleaner, more complete document for our review together on the 31st of August, where we will finalize this and get ready to transmit it to the HITAC for presentation on the 9th of September.
So Steve, where should we put the comments?
If you can comment in this new Word doc with the draft recommendations that we've been looking at mostly today, as opposed to over in the other documents that we worked with previously, I think that would be preferred.
How do we get to it?
You should have been sent a new link. My understanding is that actually happened.
It did.
Yeah. So you should have it in your email.
Okay. It's called New Google Doc Link on 8/17.
That sounds about right.
It just came.
Perfect. All right. Yeah. And again, the doc that's out there now is the one we have been editing, making suggestions, accepting suggestions, adding comments. Dan has an assignment. Clem, you have an assignment. Mark, you have assignments. I think Hans, you have assignments.
And what's the time frame?
If you guys could get to it in the next week, that would be delightful. And then I would have, you know, maybe even drop me an email to say I've been there, done that, and then I can go in and work with what you put in. That would be great. And I'll try to be, you know, as mindful and respectful of your suggestions, but I might edit them a little bit before they come back to the group. All right. Well, hey, I'm going to give
Thanks
you 90
so much.
Seconds back in your day. Everybody go grab a cup of tea. Thank you again for everyone, including those who've been silent the whole time. Really appreciate your being here, knowing that you're watching over this work, and your silence is agreement. So that's wonderful. And thank you again also to the public who joined us today to listen in. Have a great day.
Thanks so much, Stephen.
Thank you.
Take care.